Father, as we open your word, help us. Help us to hear from you. Jesus, help us to see you for who you are. Stir our hearts to incline toward you. Give us a hunger for you that will be satisfied by nothing else. In Jesus' name and for his glory we pray. Amen. So, Christmas is over. It came and it went. And for some of us, if we're honest, we might say, that's a relief. Kind of deep sigh of, we're done with preparation, with shopping, with traveling, with decorating, with baking, with busyness of the holiday season. That's behind us. You can take a deep breath, start to clean up the mess, start to eat your way through the leftovers, pack up the decorations, store them away for another year. Many of us have a nativity scene, a set with figures of Mary and Joseph, shepherds, wise men, sheep, a donkey, and the baby Jesus in a manger. We set this up in our homes, not as an object to be worshipped, but as a reminder of what the season is all about, a reminder to keep Jesus central. We use it as a visible reminder of what we celebrate. We use it as a tool, something we can use to teach our children what it's really all about. In the coming weeks, we'll be packing that up, along with all the other Christmas decorations, and putting it in a box in the basement or in the attic, storing it away for another year. But I want to, this morning, caution you. Don't put Jesus away. Don't wrap Jesus up in tissue paper and bubble wrap and put him on a shelf. Don't put him in a box and store him out of sight and out of mind for another year. Now, I'm not saying you can't put away your nativity set. I'm not saying that you can't pack up, that you can pack up the sheep and the shepherds and even Mary and the wise men, but you've got to keep the baby Jesus out all year. I'm not saying that. Now, put it away. That's fine. But Jesus is not a porcelain or a wooden figure laying in the hay. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. You can't put Jesus away. Don't set Jesus aside as if he were a holiday decoration. You see, the nativity, it's great for what it is, but it can't tell the whole story. Jesus was born in a stable to a young virgin girl, placed in a manger. He was a real baby. But Jesus was so much more. Jesus is the eternal God, the only Son of the Father, the great I Am. I've not seen a nativity display that can capture that. Jesus was born in humble circumstances, but Jesus didn't stay a baby. He grew to be a man. He became an itinerant preacher. People left their jobs to follow him. He got himself in trouble with the religious authorities. He got himself crucified. And in that act, he took my sin upon him. And before God the Father, he paid my price in full. I've never seen yet a nativity set that can communicate the whole story of who Jesus is or why he came. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 23 says this. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. Joseph was understandably troubled to learn that his betrothed wife-to-be was pregnant. But the angel assured him, that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 1, the angel told Mary, behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. Verse 35, the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. John's Gospel says that Jesus, the Word, was with God and was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is no ordinary baby. This is eternal God, become flesh, the only begotten, the unique, the one and only Son of the Father. Jesus, who is fully God, who eternally existed with his Father at a moment in history, his divine nature was united to human flesh. He became a human embryo in the womb of a virgin. The Creator God was born a human baby. This is something no manger scene can convey. The angel told Joseph, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. John introduces Jesus in John chapter 1. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is the sin-bearing substitute. Jesus himself said in Mark chapter 10, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Peter teaches in 1 Peter 1:18 that you were ransomed with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He says in verse 24 of chapter 2, He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By His wounds you have been healed. By His wounds you have been healed. Jesus paid the price for our sins. He died in our place. He took the punishment we deserved. He came to save His people from their sins. He came to give His life as a ransom for many. To look no further than the manger is to miss the meaning of the coming of the Son of God. This is why He came. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel, which means God with us. The baby in the manger is called God with us, Emmanuel. Take note of this. Jesus is God, fully God, eternal God, omnipotent, sovereign, creator God, the great I am. Jesus said in John 8, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." So they picked up stones to throw at Him. The author of Hebrews says of Jesus, He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature. And He, Jesus, upholds the universe by the word of His power. After making purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Colossians Chapter 1 says of Jesus, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things. And in Him all things hold together. Jesus is God. Emmanuel. He is God with us. Jesus is God with us. Not God against us. Not God distant. Not God afar off. Isaiah 59 verse 2 says, "But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He does not hear." We sinned. We rebelled. We caused a rift in our relationship. We became His enemies. We deserve just retribution for our willful disobedience. But God came down. Romans 5 says, "But God showed His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by His life." God with us. God for us, not against us. Jesus said in John 12, "I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. Is this good news? Brothers and sisters, is this good news? God is not against us. He is for us. God with us, Emmanuel. Jesus did not come as judge to punish. He came as a lamb to bear a punishment not his own. Jesus died to bring us near. Job, in the Old Testament, Job lamented, "There is no arbiter between us who might lay his hand on us both." He wanted someone to go between him and God, to present his cause, his case before God, to connect the two, to bring them together, an arbiter, a mediator. He longed for a mediator who would go between a holy God and sinful man. Jesus is that longed for mediator. He lays his hand on us both. He died to bring us near. Peter says in 1 Peter 3:18, "For Christ also suffered once for sin, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God." That he might bring us to God. Emmanuel, Jesus made a way for us to be with God, to experience God's affection rather than his retribution. Jesus said in John 14, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is the only way for us to be reconciled to the Father. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. He came to bring us to God, to reconcile us to God, to restore our broken relationship back to fellowship with God. So don't put Jesus in a box. Don't put Jesus away in storage. Let every heart prepare him room. Enjoy your blood-bought relationship with Jesus. Savor him every day. Enjoy the fact that he is with you. At the close of Matthew's gospel, Matthew opens declaring Emmanuel, God with us. At the close of Matthew's gospel, after the resurrection of Jesus, as he's appearing to his followers before he ascends to heaven, Matthew 28, verse 17, "When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And look, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" He's about to ascend up to heaven. He commissions his followers to make more followers, to make disciples. And he gives them his promise, "I am with you always to the end of the age." Emmanuel, God with us. His promise to be with us, to never leave us. Jesus said in John 14:23, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." What? Jesus and his Father are coming over to your house. We will come to him and make our home with him. Emmanuel, God with us. Don't put Jesus away after the holidays are past. Seek to foster an awareness of his presence with you every moment of every day. Allow his presence to shape your attitudes, your actions, your reactions, your identity. He is God with you always. Hebrews says, Hebrews 13, verse 5, "Be content with what you have. For he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." Do you know that promise? Jesus will never leave you, will never forsake you. You may feel abandoned, forsaken, alone, but your feelings are lying to you, because Jesus said, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. It is written, thus saith the Lord," and he makes good on his word. Enjoy. Enjoy the presence of the God who has made a way to be with you forever. Treasure, enjoy him. As a wedding gift, many years ago, we were given a white porcelain nativity set that was made handmade by at the Carmelite Monastery in Seattle. It's fragile, so we wrap it up very carefully each year and pack it away in a special box in a special place. On the ox, there's a little ox that sits in the stable. Both his horns have broken off long ago, and they're missing. Can't find them. A couple years ago, one of the wise men tipped over and lost his head. I got some super glue and glued it back on, and he's actually looking pretty well today. We since bought a plastic resin nativity set that's durable. It's these short, little, cute, colorful guys, and the kids can play with that one. We're not so worried about it. The other one is, don't touch that one. It's fragile. This one you can play with. Even that, the wise men, the kings, they've got these little crowns. All but one or two of the points on their crowns are broken off and gone. Jesus is not fragile. Jesus does not need to be packed away, insulated from the real world. Jesus does not need to be protected like a fragile decoration. He is durable. He is resilient. You can interact with him. You can bring him into dirty, messy, broken situations. We don't need to worry that we will break him, or tarnish him, or spoil him. Jesus wants to interact with you. Jesus wants to be accessible. He's real. He understands what real life is like. He knows what we're like. He's not surprised by our sin. He knows all about it. He felt the guilt of it. He took it as his own. He knows your sin. Jesus did not hesitate to interact with the worst of sinners, prostitutes, tax collectors, adulterers, demon-possessed, even self-righteous people. In fact, he says in Mark chapter 2, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. Jesus came specifically for sinners, for the broken, for the hurting, for those who knew that they were helpless and needed his help. He shocked religious leaders by pronouncing sins forgiven. First John chapter 1 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, confess means to agree, to say the same thing. We recognize that our sin is sinful and offensive to God. We're saying, well, what I've tried to justify it and explain it away and make it not that bad. Confession is coming to the realization that, well, what God thinks of my sin, I want to think that too. To agree with God about our sin. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus does not get soiled by interaction with sinners. In fact, the other way around, we get cleansed by our interaction with Jesus. Jesus does not get stained by our sins. We don't have to be careful, keep Him isolated, make sure He doesn't find out about, because we wouldn't want to. It's so silly thinking. But don't we think that way? When you say it, it sounds silly, but I've got to keep this hidden because I don't want to hurt Him. He wore it. He knows it. Isaiah 1, verse 18, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. Anybody get a new, like, vibrant red sweater for Christmas? And throw it in the wash with your whites and everything turns pink, right? It's not that way with Jesus. He's saying, you bring your sins in contact with me, I don't get tarnished, I don't get soiled. You become pure and clean. Matthew chapter 8, behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Leprosy was an incredibly infectious disease that required quarantine, isolation, separation, so that the disease wouldn't spread. Listen to Matthew 8, verse 3. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. and said, I will be clean. Amen. We don't have to protect Jesus, to shelter Him, to isolate Him, to keep Him safe. Jesus wants to get right into your mess and touch you and say, I am here to cleanse you. I'm not going to pick up your infection. Instead, you're going to pick up my purity. I will be clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Jesus did not hesitate to touch lepers, to touch the unclean. He did not get infected. Instead, they were made whole. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is strong. He is fierce. Don't pack Him away. Turn Him loose. Don't shield Him from evil. Allow Him to overcome evil with good. Turn Him loose in your heart, in your home, in your neighborhood. Turn Him loose among the broken, among the hurting, among the sinners. Jesus is no fragile ornament. Jesus has strong shoulders. He invites us to come. Come weary. Come heavy laden. Come burdened to Him and find rest. Cast your cares, your anxieties on Him, because He's strong enough to handle it. Because He cares for you. Matthew 6, come to me. All who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Picture a yoke of oxen. You've got two animals yoked together. And He says, you come alongside me, weak, burdened, broken. I'll pull the weight. You come alongside and be with me. I'll do the work. And I'll bring you along. Find rest for your souls. Today I would invite you to open the box. Experience Jesus, who He is for you, all year long. Acknowledge His presence. Because He promised to never leave you, to never forsake you. I invite you today, enjoy His presence. For He is Emmanuel, God with us. He is with you in your joys. He is with you in the deepest sorrows of life. He is strong enough to overcome your failures, to overcome your flaws. He will carry you through the most trying times. Treasure His presence with you. He will clothe you with boldness to advance His gospel in spite of your fears, in spite of your inadequacies. Emmanuel, God with us, treasure Jesus. treasure the fact that He is with you, that He is for you. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Father, thank you. Thank you that although we were your enemies, you sent Jesus to pay our price, to rescue us, to forgive our sins and make us yours, to take us as your own treasured possession, that we might be with you, that we might enjoy your presence with us, not tremble in fear because we stand guilty before you, but recognizing our guilt is washed away. And you love us. God, allow this to embolden us to battle the sin in our hearts. Give us strong courage to fight the good fight of faith. To believe that you're with us. To believe that we are yoked together with you, that you are pulling for us. May this embolden us to unashamedly, unhesitatingly proclaim your good news to lost people around us. Because you are eager to get into the mess with broken people. Because you make all things new. Make it so in our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Nothing compares. Do you believe that? Nothing compares. The incomparable riches and treasure of knowing God, being with Him. Savor Him. Enjoy Him. I was given some wonderful fudge this Christmas. I like treats. And the problem with that is my inclination is to hoard it all to myself because it's so wonderful. And if you do that and eat it all, you'll get sick. Okay? Enjoy it, but eventually the fudge is going to be gone, so I'm protecting it so nobody else gets it, right? Jesus doesn't ever run out. So enjoy Him, savor Him, but share Him. Because the blessing comes in sharing. Say, have you tasted? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Enjoy Him yourself and then share Him. Because He doesn't run out, He increases. As He's shared. God bless you. May you enjoy the gift that you have been given. If you are hurting this morning, we want to pray for you. So ask somebody around you. Ask me. We'd love to just lay hands on you, put our arm around your shoulder and pray for you and encourage you in the Lord, point you to Jesus. So if you're hurting, if you're broken, we all are. There's no shame in that. Ask somebody before you leave today and allow them the privilege of sharing Jesus with you and encouraging you and praying for you. God bless you.